Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, June 23rd, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. They say that turnabout is fair play, and since I left James on his own yesterday while I was seeing the NT live screening of One Man, Two Governors, today he has left me on my own while he sees the Janet McTeer-led all-female Shakespeare in the Park production of The Taming of the Shrew at the Delacorte. And like James, I am going to rely on some reinforcements to help me round out today's episode. However, I won't be calling them on the phone. Instead, at the end of this episode, you will hear the latest 6-minute teaser episode of the new Broadway radio podcast, Curtain Call, that literally takes you backstage to the biggest and best shows in London. In this teaser, John interviews the stars of last year's West End production of American Idiot while a performance is going on. You do not want to miss it. Okay, on to today's news. Over the past week, we've been telling you about the remarkable single that dozens of Broadway stars recorded to benefit the victims of the Pulse nightclub shooting here in Orlando. And today, just 48 hours after its release, Broadway for Orlando's What the World Needs Now is now at the top of the iTunes singles charts, ahead of Justin Timberlake's Can't Stop the Feeling, Calvin Harris's This Is What You Came For featuring Rihanna, One Dance by Drake featuring Wizkid and Kyla, and Heathens by 21 Pilots, an alternative rock group formed at my alma mater, Ohio State, and was named while the band members were studying Arthur Miller's All My Sons. See, you didn't think there was going to be a theater connection with me naming off all those other songs, did you? You can purchase the track for $1.99 on iTunes, BroadwayRecords.com, or wherever you get your music. And if for some reason you are unable to purchase the song, either because you are outside of the United States or don't have the money to do that, email James at BroadwayRadio.com and he will gladly purchase it for you and send you the track. We've got a few Hamilton-related stories to get through today, starting first with the news of the next Ham for Ham host. Creator Lin-Manuel Miranda will exit his groundbreaking musical on July 9th, leaving the equally groundbreaking street performances without a ruler. But at yesterday's Ham for Ham show, Miranda dubbed King George III IV, Rory O'Malley, the new host of the lottery performances, and the Tony-nominated star showed that he is quite capable of filling the abdicated throne by singing a verse of his signature Book of Mormon song, Turn It Off, before being joined by stage and screen heartthrob Aaron Tveit, who sang a live from the musical Next to Normal. Also in Hamiland, which has nothing to do with the actor who played Luke Skywalker, on a day when NBC's The Today Show aired a segment in which Aaron Sorkin and cast members from his beloved political drama, The West Wing, in part discussed the show's connection with West Wing devotee Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton, reports intensified that the Democratic National Committee was looking to lock up Miranda as a speaker at next month's convention. In a recent interview with the Washington Post's Peter Marks, the Tony, Emmy, Grammy, and Pulitzer winner said that he would be working to get Latino Americans to the polls during this fall's election. Lin-Manuel's father, Luis Miranda Jr., who is a longtime New York City Democratic operative, told Politico that there was no truth to the rumors, but the publication cites Dems familiar with the process who say that the Clinton campaign is looking at Miranda and other A-listers with a point of view in an effort to attract groups of voters not normally engaged in politics. Politics and theater. That sounds like it could be a really interesting podcast. If only I knew someone who would host it. In other news, just 10 days after the 2016 awards, the Tony Awards Administration Committee announced the 2016-2017 nominating committee, comprised of 51 members serving non-concurrent 3-year terms. Some of the most recognizable names in this year's list are director Chip Kuhlman, friend of the show Sam Gonzalez, composer-lyricist Adam Guan, Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Tom Kitt, composer Michael John Lacusa, sound designer Tony Miola. I wonder if he actually will ever get to vote on his own category again. Actors Jessica Malasky and Deborah Monk, and composer Lawrence O'Keefe. We will have a link to the full list of this year's nominators in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. After a remarkable first season in their new theater on the Brooklyn Bridge Park waterfront, St. Ann's Warehouse announced yesterday that they would kick off their 2016-2017 season with playwright Taylor Mack's epic, A 24-Decade History of Popular Music. This one-of-a-kind performance art concert is Mack's subjective history of the United States, told through songs that were popular throughout the country and in its disparate communities from 1776 to the present day. In the show, which will run from September 15th through October 8th, Mac will sing a total of 240 songs from throughout the nation's history, each with its own costume, backed by a 24-piece orchestra. Now, the normal construct of the show will be each night will feature a concert covering three decades and will include special guests throughout, but there will be a one-time-only, non-stop, 24-hour marathon performance. I hope he's got his 5-hour energy handy. I'm interested to hear what you guys think about this. Is there any theatrical performance, this or something else, that you would be willing to sit and watch for 24 straight hours, giving away an entire day of your life? Let me know over on Twitter at BWWMATT. I'm racking my brain and, man, I love me some theater, but I don't know if I could give up a whole day. Another thing I want to hear from you listeners is if there's any of you that are still having difficulties breathing, or maybe your eyesight hasn't returned after Barbara Streisand's appearance on the Tonys last week. Well, if so, when her new album of show tunes duets is released on August 26th, you might want to head out to your local Target store, or as my family called it growing up, Target, because we fancy. It was announced yesterday that the Superstore will be selling a deluxe edition of the album featuring four Streisand solo tracks: the Dorothy Loudon classic 50% from Ballroom, the Rodgers and Hart classic I Didn't Know What Time It Was from Too Many Girls, Not a Day Goes By from Merrily We Roll Along, and Losing My Mind from Follies. How many of you guys are dreamcasting Babs in a big screen Follies right now? You can admit it. This is a safe space. Earlier this week, the Kilroys, a Los Angeles-based cohort of playwrights and producers, released their third annual edition of The List, which features 32 industry-recommended new plays by female and trans playwrights. A study from the Lily Awards and the Dramatists Guild, released back in 2015, shows that only 22% of regional theater productions from the previous 3 years were written by women. But in the time that the Kilroys have published their list, more than 100 productions of the plays included on these lists have been staged across the country. So obviously the Kilroys list is having a strong impact on the community, and we can only hope that it increases throughout the years. Because we don't often get major new works here in the hinterlands of Orlando, Florida, I can't say that I've seen any of the shows included on this year's list, but I think the work that the Kilroys are doing, bringing attention to this obvious disparity, is wonderful, and I, for one, will be keeping an eye out for the theaters that produce some of these works in my general area, and I will be happy to support them in any way I can, and I hope you'll do the same. You can check out the Kilroys' full list in our show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. Give it a look, won't you? Now, as promised, here is the newest teaser trailer from the Curtain Call podcast from our friends Matt and John over in London. I think you're really going to like the unique, insightful, honest work that they do over at the Curtain Call. So check this out, and then we'll regroup at the end to finish off the show.
Hello, everyone. John Schwab from Curtain Call here, and welcome to the Curtain Call Theater Podcast. We are so close to launching this podcast across all networks and cannot wait to start sharing with you our experience of what it's like to be backstage during a major theatrical show here in London. First of all, I'd like to say a big thank you to those of you that heard our first teaser featuring Sharon D. Clarke doing a little walk and talk with me. And let me tell you, I was so surprised that Sharon wanted to carry on our chat after she'd been called to the stage. As performers, getting called to the stage is such a magic moment, and to be invited to walk the corridors of the National Theatre with Sharon was great. So go back and listen to that first one for a real treat. Now, as a little bit of a second tease, we want to let you know what you can expect from a Curtain Call podcast. We went backstage last year to American Idiot at the Arts Theater, and I got to talk to most of the cast during the show. I had what seemed like little pit stops with the company as they were coming off the stage and managed to get a few questions in. Have a listen.
Had my own little band when I was 12 years old called Mr. Cheerful, a three-piece, and I was Billy Joe in my head at 12 right. years old. Bought the baby blue Fender Strat that Billy Joe had, which is on stage now. I'm using it in the show.
Nice.
And so I've been in various pop bands. I was a singer, solo artist for Disney in America, writing for various people. Yeah. So I've always been in music, but never done any acting, ever. Right. Never anything. And when this came about, I said to him, put me forward, please tell your agent I really want to have a go. And so they asked me, look, we know you haven't done anything, just send in a video of you playing a Green Day song. So I was like, yeah, easy, do that all the time. So I sent it in.
But I think, yes, but still, like, just in general, there's a lot of Green Day fans that come. They know it's not about Green Day, but I think just, yeah, And because it's all sung more or less start to finish, so yeah, we'd have to be kind
it's
of
nice to not have a theatre, traditional theatre crowd with a show like this. It's nice to have people that are sitting there kind of like bopping in their seats because they're more responsive in the way that we need them to be responsive. And actually, the Green Day fans that we've spoken to, they're really enjoying it.
This whole theatre fits well with the show. You know, it's quite a dark and cool theatre. And I think, you know, if we were any bigger or, you know, any cleaner, let's say, I don't think it would fit the vibe of the show. And it helps us all get into character as well, having, like, you know, the kind of space that we do. Like, we share dressing rooms and, you know, we all chat about, like, what's going on and stuff like that. And it is great.
I've always loved this theatre. I saw a show here a while ago, and I could never really understand why it's not more well known. Like, the Donmar down the road is like, everyone knows the Donmar, and people know the arts, but there's not really been...
It's a hidden gem, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's not really been anything like this, as far as I'm aware, that has really put it on the map.
Yeah.
So, but I love it. I think it's a real... Because it's got that feeling of... I can't believe it only seats 350 people. Yeah. It feels like it's any other West End theatre. Just the way it's designed, the proscenium arch and everything. So I personally adore this theatre and I've always wanted to do something here.
Yeah. I've got quite a lot of visual cues that I take, like in Boulevard, Aaron walks in all these, and they're all specific points that he has to go to, and he has to do it in that order every single show, otherwise he won't be lit because we haven't got a follow spot. So it's a light that literally, one of the moving lights will literally follow him to every point that he's at.
There's just not room to have a follow spot in this theatre.
I don't think there is really, no, not from where, because it's like, where would you put them to be able to get, for them to be able to get all the upstage bits and stuff as well.
Yeah, I think there was talk of it, but we'd have to take seats off sale and stuff like that, and that's not, they weren't prepared to do that.
I think you can tell how hard that company was working. We had a great time backstage, and the show returns to the Arts Theatre this summer with most of the cast that we met last year returning as well, and we'd like to welcome them back into the West End. Now, if you like what you've heard, there are two things you need to do now. The first thing to do is go to iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe to the Curtain Call Theatre podcast today. That way, our debut podcast, featuring the cast and company of People, Places, and Things, will automatically appear in your podcast feed next week. Also, if you did listen to our first teaser, you will know about Matt Humphrey now, the genius behind the images of Curtain Call. If you want to see Matt's photography, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and visit some of the show pages, or even better, become a Curtain Call insider. By becoming an insider, you basically get an online version of our first book, Curtain Call, A Year Backstage in London Theatre. But listen to this. You get loads more content, masses of exclusive photography, a ton of audio from companies like American Idiot, Kinky Boots, Hangmen, and many, many more. There's also a host of actor and theatre professional profiles of those who work in London Theatre. In a nutshell, if you are looking for London Theatre content, you cannot go wrong by giving curtaincallonline.com a visit and signing up to become a Curtain Call insider. Follow us on Twitter at CRTNCLL, Curtain Call without the vowels, Instagram at CRTNCLL, Curtain Call without the vowels, and Facebook at facebook.com/CRTNCLL, that's Curtain Call without the vowels. Make sure you follow us to get updates on the podcast, website, book, and more. And if you're wondering about the guitar track you're listening to right now, make your way over to iTunes and type in mex.f.s. Thank you for listening to this tease of what will be the Curtain Call Theater podcast.
You've never heard anything like that before, have you? It's pretty cool. I'm really excited to have them as a part of Broadway Radio. All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt. And subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. As James so kindly mentioned yesterday, Jen and I recently, after a little bit of a delay, released our Tony recap episode. So take a listen and let us know what you think. James and I both should be back tomorrow, I think, unless one of us gets a better offer. So check your podcast feed on Friday to close out the week in style. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.